on strategies you use to have your teams all aligned on communicating in the same way. That'd be great.
Well, I think it takes a lot of dispute resolution. You have to
dispute resolution.
Yeah, you have to test and try every single person's communication styles on a particular question. And you have to show, I think, the person that suggested it. I'll give you an example. So somebody may suggest, you know, I don't think this is the moment, Camille, where you need to go in really hard on this particular witness. And I may disagree. But the way that I disagree is just to show them why I think I'm right. And they may not be on the mark. And the way we did that in the Depp v. Heard case is we tested every single question with different styles, different tones, and different potential answers. And so once you do that, I think you get agreement from the team because you see it live. What could go wrong when you push too hard on a particular topic? What could go really right when you push just enough? And so I'm all about show and tell. You've got to test and try, especially in group settings, with team settings, you have to test and try each of the communication styles to get in alignment and to get in agreement.
So her question is, if the counterpart uses a rude, disrespectful, provocative, or aggressive tone, how do you decide when it's best to ignore the provocation to prevent the situation from escalating, and when and how you should address their tone or words to reestablish the balance and draw a line?
That's a good question. I think you should always try to ignore the provocation because it's not going to further your goal.
Ignore or fail to respond to it and choose to respond in a different way.
I think that's better said, Chris. That's exactly right. It's about not responding in kind.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and to some degree, I think your answer before, give them a bit of grace and respond with that as the underlying motivation to your response.
Exactly. I think that's right.
Ooh, I got it. That's right.
That's a right.
I'd love to hear more about how you adapt your strategies to a woman negotiator.
I don't know that it matters who's on the other side. I do think, though, that you have to be, again, this goes back to being genuine and authentic. You have to be genuine and authentic to your style, irrespective of who's on the other side, after having done the research, though. So you have to know who's on the other side. But gender, I don't think, necessarily plays a role. It might play a role in your negotiation style, but I don't think it plays a role in how you deal with somebody on the other side.
How can I be true to myself, authentic, and not sound phony, and build those relationships to your point to get the buy-ins? Because at the end of the day, I need to make people feel heard, to get their buy-ins.
And I empathize and I understand because I'm probably not perceived as nice all the time by everyone. I strive to be, but that doesn't mean that it's perceived that way necessarily. So I understand, especially in male-dominated fields, how a lot of women feel, right? Or they seem to be perceived. So I think it's about taking that extra step, I think, and I know it's hard to do in every situation, and it's probably impossible to do in every situation. But I do believe it's possible to do it, either in email or orally when you're interacting with somebody. Give them the platform to speak, even if it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And if you're going to be late to your next meeting, it's worth it. Because it's about making them, and you knew the answer, it's about making them feel heard. Doesn't mean you're going to agree with them. But if you give them the opportunity and you make it a point, I think this is, I think, the key. You have to make it a point to let them know that you are actually listening. And even it could be something small. You can say, I'm going to be 5 minutes late to my meeting, but it's worth it because I want to hear you out. That will make such an impact, I think, on that person that you don't have to do it every time, but it will make an impact on that person that they they know they can come to you and you're going to take 5 minutes out of your schedule, as busy as you are, to listen to them. And when you indicate that, I think that changes the relationship and that builds a bit of trust between you and that person. So it's about signaling to them intentionally, I'm going to take time to listen to you. You know how busy I am, but you're important. So why don't you tell me why you disagree? And I think it's that signaling that makes a difference.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Great question, Hattie. Thank you very much.
What are some of the strategies or tactics that you've used successfully to get people to talk and open up when they're intentionally maybe not being communicative or they're...
Well, that's a great question. I think it's, we go back to one of the principles that we've talked about, which is finding out what they care about. Because once you establish that and figure that out, and it could be something really simple, Rick, like they may really like to go fishing. And once you find that out, you're going to get trust. And trust is what builds communication. And then they're going to really love to talk to you about fishing. And then you sneak in those questions that really matter to you, right? Fishing may matter, but you're an executive recruiter. You need to know what they're planning to pay, how many other candidates they're looking at, et cetera. But I think you do that by getting them to talk about and open up about what they care about. So you got to figure out what do they care about. And I guarantee even the most introverted person cares about something and would love to chat with you about something that they care about.